Good evening. I call this February 4th, 2025, meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Volziger. I am the chairman of the Planning Commission. It's my pleasure to welcome you here tonight. The public meeting, you're encouraged to be part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting, and I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to take calls, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I'll recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so others have an opportunity to speak. Should no problem there. I'll keep track of the time for you, so you keep track of what you want to say. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is posted at both exits. I now call for a roll call of members.
Volziger?
Here.
Haleska?
Here.
Pound? Kading? Huber?
Here.
Radner?
Here.
Schroeder? Boswell?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
I'd like to call for the approval of the January 7th meeting minutes.
Second.
Who? Boswell?
Yeah.
Oh, Heinrich and then Schroeder. No, Heinrich and Radner. I'll get it right. Please cast your vote.
Commission members present voting aye. Boswell, Huber, Radner, Volziger, Heinrich, abstaining, Haleska.
I will open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Megan Carlson, 2068 Park Street, Blair, Nebraska, for use of a daycare on Lot 6 in Barson's 4th Addition to the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, together with the part of vacated Park Street adjacent thereto, 2068 Park Street, for 5 years. Jeff.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. Thanks for showing up. First off, with this first consideration on the CUP, there was an advertisement that went out that actually, unfortunately, had the word preschool instead of daycare. That has been corrected. We sent out another notice to the paper and reformed letters to the people in the 300 area. So what we are seeing here tonight is the correct CUP application. Megan Carlson is looking for that daycare. Her house is 2068 Park Street, Northwest Court, corner of the City of Blair. It does require a conditional use permit because of the daycare center. As you can see, up here we have for up to 8 children on Lot 6. That is most that she asked for in her application. I'm going to show you that application just a little bit. It is our amount, multifamily density. When we get to the first sections, the definitions in the zoning book, it talks about a daycare center. The daycare center is provides care to four or more children in here. Now, once we know that's what a daycare center is, that's why she has to be there for the CUP, because it talks about under exceptions, anything is number 15, family daycare not offered at a home or private dwelling, group daycare, or daycare center. So that's the whole reason that she is here tonight for a CUP. She needs to get the CUP before she can proceed with the Department of Health and Human Services to get that license. Her hours listed on the CUP would be 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. I asked about that. It was Monday through Friday. And of course, once the CUP is granted, they will work with DHHS for that licensing. There's the application. In-home daycare no more than 8, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. She's requested this for 5 years. Real quickly, let's look at the neighborhood over here. They live on the corner of 21st and Park. That's our zoning overlay, surrounded all by multifamily low density. And finally, a photo of the home looking from Park Street. Any questions on this conditional use permit application?
What are the parking requirements for the daycare? Has he got the right amount of parking?
We don't have parking requirements for the daycare. That could be up to planning commissioner or council if they want to do that. But I guess, it's public streets, parking on the north side, parking on the other side. They do live on that corner, this area here. It could be part of the stipulations if you want, but right now we don't have any parking requirements.
So how far, excuse me, how far does that zoning extend around that location with the same type of zoning it's currently has?
Pretty much that whole section between, and if Eric can find the GIS, you can see, when you get west toward West Valley subdivision, that's jumped up to RMH. Everything in this whole area here is pretty much RML.
So a pretty good chunk of that neighborhood, though.
Yeah, is that 23rd? Right there is where they're at. So we have school, church and school up in this area, and the hospital. And then, of course, over here, this is West Valley. This is actually high density on this area right here. And then, of course, here would be Transformation Hill, and this would be east of 19th, which is also high density.
Thank you.
Any more questions of staff? Would the person, Megan Carlson or someone for her, like to speak on this issue?
I do have questions if they're here. Not here?
Yeah, probably not.
Good. Okay, well, anyone else like to speak on this issue, this public issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Evan, I have a question about fencing, parking, all that. I don't know what's required for a daycare, if they should have fencing in the back. Or...
Well, they will have to be licensed by the state of Nebraska.
That would be up to licensing.
I'm, sure. I'm not sure of the actual requirements. I can let you know later this week, but... For this to even happen, they have to get the CUP first, then they have to go through license requirements. I'm going to guess the state fire marshal is probably involved in that also, with the amount of people and stuff like that. But for sure, I know they do have to do licensing through DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services.
Is there a number of adults that you have for supervision for children? Is it one for...
That again would be under DHHS guidelines. Yeah. Which we just follow because, again, it's something we can't really police anyway.
So I might add, so historically, we normally haven't required anything different than just whatever the state requires. In fact, some have argued over the years, why do we even require a conditional use permit? We basically do it because if the family has to go to the trouble of getting a permit from the state, might as well let the neighbors know, just in case there's some concern. Now on the parking side, just because it's a daycare and people are generally dropping off their kids and leaving, mm-hmm. we don't require any other additional parking. If it was a different kind of a use where people would come there and stay, that would be a different situation.
Right.
Phil, excuse me, Phil. So you're assuming that the state will trump out any city ordinance that would be required for that location? Is that my understanding?
The state has its own regulations because of the safety for the children and some things like that. We primarily require it simply as a notification to the neighbors that this is something that this family's planning to do.
They're going to have more requirements by the state than by the city.
Yeah. Okay. And it's really more just notification because there are times where people just simply feel like, well, how come no one told me that they were doing this and I wasn't even aware of it? Because of the fact that the state does require the zoning sign-off from the city, then if for some reason it was turned down, then they wouldn't be able to get the state's license in the first place.
So would we put the stipulation if they don't get the licensing, then it's the CUP is no good?
You could do that. We've got some language in there that talks about if the use isn't activated, if you will, or done within 12 months, then it can be voided and just kind of go away. It doesn't really hurt anything at all, you know, to have that. Now, you could easily make a stipulation, too, if you were concerned about carryover, that it would be just for this particular homeowner, and that if they moved out and somebody else moved in, that the conditional use permit would cease at that point in time. Because you never know, another family might do something slightly different. But again, the state would have to license them as well. So.
And I would also suggest in the stipulation that you do mention, you know, no more than 8 children, but there are specified times. So that's also in there, right?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Because that's not part of the project. Any further questions? So would someone like to make a motion?
Motion to recommend approval of the conditional use permit submitted by Megan Carlson as presented with stipulations.
I'll second.
And what are your
stipulation is?
Whatever the city.
The 8.
No more than 8 children.
No more than 8 children.
And then the hours, should we have the hours also though?
And the hours listed on the application.
With the stipulation of no more than 8 children present and then outside the operating hours from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
I will second.
And it would be for 5 years, correct?
Yes.
And for 5 years.
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
Okay. Is that agreeable to the motion maker and the second?
Yes.
We have that. Did you get that all right?
Yeah.
You want us to rewind?
Yeah. Redo?
Any further questions or amendments? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that's 3 weeks away, right?
Yes, sir.
3 weeks away to go to the council. I will open a public hearing to consider amending Blair's 2015 Comprehensive Plan, Section 4.2, Future land use by combining the future land use categories of residential multifamily and residential single family into one category, residential, and adopting an updated future land use map after replacing all future uses of agricultural or vacant, residential multifamily and residential single family with the future use residential. Yeah.
Thank you. So your final consideration tonight is on the change to the Comprehensive Plan 2015. You know, a lot of times we're coming in here and they change some of the current zoning to maybe a different district, but we always have to start off by saying first we need to change the future land use map. What we are proposing tonight is we're gonna make some changes to the agriculture or vacant area, as it's also been described on the GIS, and residential multifamily, so it's basically all just residential. So when it comes for a change, somebody wants to buy a lot, turn it into a subdivision, either RML or RMH, we already know that the future land use says residential. The agricultural area, this isn't gonna change anything with the future land use because that changes when it comes time. Right now, this is just that base either residential or commercial that we need to have in play so we can match up the current zoning when that does change, if it does change. So as you can see right now, this is talks about the change in different categories. I'll go through those in just a little bit. All right, so right now our future land use map, the current map shows, we'll just do agriculture right now. We'll do ag here. So anything in the striped areas here, here through here, here, and here, are zoned agricultural in the future land use map. We would propose that we change that to match the rest of the land surrounding it to also residential. It's not RMH, it's not RL, it's not anything like that. That's current land use. This is just a future land use, allowing it to be used, changed to some sort of residential district later on. If one of those comes forward, we don't have to go through and change the future land use map. And then the second part of this is all these orange areas are multifamily. We want to change those also into residential so that there's more of a choice of what's going on, whether it's low density, high density, RML, RL, which is medium density, and low density. And the reason is, right now, if you have some of those red areas along the highway, and somebody, there's an area that is in the future land use map for commercial, well, part of the exceptions in this, in the current zoning for ACH commercial highway is already multifamily. When we come down to RML and RMH, and again, RML is the decided starting zoning district for current stuff, which will be changed. They also have areas in there that allow residential multifamily, single family. Single family is allowed everywhere. It's just when it gets into multifamily. So again, by changing everything out there to residential, when it comes time for a subdivision or a replat or something like that, where anything residential is future land use is already set and ready to go. Once everything is done, you'll see that the current proposed future land use map will be all residential in these areas and then the commercial areas. This blue is industrial. Green is park area. With that, any questions? This is designed to make it easier as it goes forward. Yes, sir.
Okay, so if I understand it correctly, the future land use map, when somebody comes in to develop, they would restrict that area to single family or multifamily or... What I'm trying to get at is, by combining all of this, does that mean that any developer can come in and put apartments wherever he wants next to any single family homes, or is there restrictions, almost like covenants that occur?
I wouldn't say covenants. What will happen is...
I wouldn't say covenants, but that's the only word I...
Yeah, I understand. So what will happen is, this is just, again, this is just the future, what's going to happen, what the comprehensive plan says should be allowed in this area. Let's take this area right here. We'll pick an area right in this area. So developer comes in, buys this, wants to subdivide it, turn it possibly into residential subdivision. As part of that preliminary plat, which comes through planning commission first, there will be the option for his designation, whether it be RML, medium family low density, RMH. Now again, we've decided, as we as in the city's decided, that when you come with subdivision, your base district is going to be RML, which allows, as we talked about, single family, all that, and then multifamily through exceptions. If they want multifamily higher, they can propose to do a rezone and ask for it to be higher. If they want to do something like medium density or low density, they can actually ask for a rezone on that too. But again, all that will flow back through the Planning Commission first for your guidance on what would be the best. The biggest thing is that that guidance will now automatically conform to the future land use map. Now, the caveat is, if someone comes in and wants to do a commercial subdivision, and it's, the future land use map says residential, so we'll have to change it then at that point too. But then again, that's good, because that gives you guys a chance to look and see if it's the best place for that. Ideally, this is going to admit one of those two or three things we do before we ask for other stuff concerning the comprehensive plan.
It almost looks like, why bother having anything here, because it's, you know, the whole thing is residential anywhere, you know.
Well, that's because it's within the 2 mile. That is what the comprehensive plan, what we want to see done. In the future, maybe years from now, you know, this will be all in city limits, and we'll be going farther out in our 2 mile. But the future is for residential homes and places.
Yes, it has nothing to the agricultural side of that. I know you mentioned
it's nothing to do with that. It's only when you get to that current zoning that will change. And again, we've instituted the transitional ag for places way out there if that happens. But this is just to pave the way for any future zoning changes. Current map.
So to Joe's point, so you can do the transitional ag even after being, since this is the future proposal.
Future land use.
So we look at ag and traditional ag or both ag. So when, you know, if you have traditional ag, and as we start expanding, we want to keep that ag. That really doesn't change the use of it. It's still ag. But what it does, it changes what you can do on that land as far as how much ag you can do. Now, ideally, that's the way it's going to be until they say, we'll start on a new subdivision, whether commercial or residential. And then, of course, that kicks into play. But the transitional ag is just more of a, okay, we're going to keep you at ag. That's not changing. We're just going to restrict what you can do so you can build a silo next to the new house on the new subdivision. Although some people like silos.
I guess the other question. So let's say someone wants to put in a business or some kind of commercial thing, but they look at businesses, gee, I don't see any place I can put it. You know, in all that area, I don't see where I could put that kind of stuff. They'd have to come in and change the future land use map, and then they could do it.
Right.
But it doesn't really give you an indication where you can put it right now when you've got it all residential.
Well, and by choice, the city has decided they do want to keep mostly industrial.
That's
or on that side there and right along this highway. Now, that doesn't mean, especially with our new expansions, that there might not be room for another industrial zone later on, for things like contract yards and stuff like that. Not heavy industrial, but the small industrial too. And if those plans come forward, we can start looking at them. You guys can take a look and see if that's a good idea.
Yeah, good, Tom.
Excellent questions. Let me talk a little bit philosophically again about future land use, because what you're saying with the future land use map is ultimately this is the city's perspective of the highest and best use sometime in the future. Okay, it was one of the reasons why we felt it was a little inconsistent to have a future land use map for our whole 2 mile, which again is the statutory limit that we have, and showing a good amount of it as being agricultural, because what you're saying then is we think long term it's going to always be agricultural. Even if the city gets out there, we think that area should be agricultural. Well, we know that's not necessarily the case. We would expect most of these areas to become, you know, residential or commercial along the strips, you know, the highways, roads, things like that that you would normally accept. The other thing I just want to remind you too is because this is a broad category of residential, it encompasses all the individual kinds of residential districts, and many of those have exceptions that are very business-like, you know. And so this doesn't deny at all the fact that someplace out there in the residential area, if something actually gets zoned that way, maybe it still stays agricultural even, but they want to do some kind of a meeting venue out in the agricultural area someplace. They can come in right now and get a conditional use permit to be able to do that. This doesn't change the fact, though, that someday we anticipate that area to be more residential in nature than ag in nature long term, if you will.
So all of our current zoning that's in place in those areas today that exists in the current zoning maps today, that's not going to be affected. This is strictly for future possibilities.
This is just the future land use map, which again gives that broad brush perspective of what do we think will be there someday.
Yeah.
And obviously we think most of it probably would be residential. Now, as the city would continue to grow, especially say you take, you know, to the west or west and northwest, who knows what kind of road infrastructure system might go through there. We know eventually that we'd like to see a north bypass. Perhaps a north bypass doesn't come just to Highway 75, but we figure out some path from 75 over to 91. Well, at that point in time, if that was ever actually done, then I would anticipate you'd see some highway commercial along that route, you know. So these things can change a little bit as the world develops. But right now, it just seems like most of those areas are going to be residential because they're not conducive to commercial activity because the road infrastructure, you know, just doesn't make it worthwhile. But yeah, great questions.
Any more questions of staff? So, what would the commission like to do? Let's see, this, we open the public hearing.
Anybody in the crowd?
Does anyone like to speak on this issue that's in the crowd? To this issue.
Hey Jeff, before they actually vote, you might make mention that this actually will change some of the text in our comprehensive plan as well.
Oh.
And we could bring that up on the screen if you wanted to show them that.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have somebody wanting to comment back here.
I just have one question. My name's Lisa Schwartz.
Please come up and State your name, address.
Hi, I'm Lisa Schrum. My address is 9367 County Road 31.
Could you spell your last name, please?
S-C-H-R-U-M.
Thank you.
Currently, I'm just wondering about the ag, you know, if you're ag, you're now, this future zoning, changing it to residential, what does that do to our property tax? Or does that, is that something in the future? Is this something that's going to happen now, or our tax is going to go up because now we're residential and no longer ag? Just trying to clarify this.
I'll have the staff answer that if they don't mind. They,
okay.
Thank you for the question.
No, there's no worries about changing the future land use map. That, again, that does not affect the current zoning. And the only way for your, say, your piece to change, such as residential, would be for you to actually change it, or if somebody else bought it to change it to that. So that, again, this is a, as Administrator Green had said, and sorry, not facing the council, but commission, like Mr. Green said, it's more of a broad brush. This is just what could happen in the future. That allows people to change things as they want. Nothing's going to change in the current district. If you're ag now, you're going to be ag tomorrow. Only until there's a proposal to change that your property would ever change. And that would come through the council, would come through planning commission and everything else. There's lots of steps that for people to talk about before that would ever happen.
Follow-up question.
Yes.
When that change would be coming about, would landowners be notified of these goings on?
Oh, obviously, absolutely. Because more than
by mail or?
Yeah, by mail, by notice, everything else. And more than likely, if you sold your land to a developer, you know, they may or may not change it, their land at that point. But unless there's a reason for the city to go through and say, look, we need to change it, so we do some time to time, you would definitely be notified. Lots of the property owners with the South Bypass, they were all notified of changes in their zoning. They had a chance to talk about it. They had a chance to go to the Planning Commission and go through City Council also. So this will never happen where you're caught blindsided.
Yep. Thank you. So.
Thank you.
And then Jeff, here's the text, again, just if you want to mention.
As you can see, when it talks about, as we go through everything.
Can you make it a little bigger?
And then do you want the red line version or not?
No, I just want to, so I can read it easier. Thank you.
Jeff, do you want the red line version or this clean version?
So, it
depends on what you're going to tell them.
Yeah,
well, yes, up to you, Jeff.
Quote is being changed too.
Yeah, go ahead, bring the red line version up.
The red line has a red line, sorry.
Yeah. I can tell you, actually, if you scroll down to the bottom here, the main changes are, this gives an idea of what the typical districts are in the residential. And again, as we talked about, it could be anything from residential low density, which is single family houses only, to residential multi-family, high density, larger apartments and stuff like that. The idea is that it's changing so that it still says residential nature, but now there's the option of actually putting any of these in. By getting rid of the high density, that allows for several different uses as opposed to having to change that orange high density. And again, with the ag land, someday maybe this way, but it's set for that right now. So.
Okay. Anything else? Any more questions?
Yeah, sure. We got one more in the back.
Okay. Come on up, please.
Yep. So, going kind of following up with Dr. Schrum, my name is Christina Bart. I live on County Road 26 and kind of a neighbor.
Did you spell your last name?
B-A-R-T-A.
Okay.
Yep. And for example, what happens if you're updating all of this to residential and you're a 2 mile bubble radius? Does that allow developers to come along right now with this updates made and do a leapfrog development or urban sprawl kind of situation? And then the ag ground, like let's say then that gets annexed, the ag ground that's in between the two can then be justified as having a rezone because now there's something else out there. That kind of happened, was it 15 years ago with Southern Ridge, where there was development that was further outside of town, and then all of a sudden the stuff in between was no longer zoned ag. So like for example, our one of our fields that was in between no longer was is ag zoned, so then property taxes are different because then it turned into residential medium density, though there was never any intention by us to develop it just because Southern Ridge got developed and we were using that field as an alfalfa field for ag uses, but then now the taxes are different on it. So I think changing that stuff actually does impact the ag ground in between. If you have urban sprawl or leapfrog development that goes here, there, there, you know, all over. So that's my comment. It actually does make a difference to the people in between what gets developed.
I'll let them comment, but I don't believe the city will. I think they usually try to keep things contiguous to the city. So, but I'll let the staff tell you and explain that.
Actually, not a bad question. Again, unless the current zoning changes, there won't be any changes in the future because this is just a comprehensive plan that shows what can be done. Now, if somebody decides with the Southern Ridge as they expanded, the city did expand their footprint also. They brought out Southern Ridge and Southern Hills both into the city and it was all contiguous, so there are different areas. In that case, the decision was made. It was made before I was here that this should become a zone medium density. Since then, we have changed some of that zoning to transitional ag. And possibly, I can't guarantee this, but maybe this is a time, if she wants to contact staff, we can look and see what the options are. If it's still being used as ag, if there's a chance to change it back. Now, without looking at the property and everything else, I can't say that's going to happen, but she's certainly free to come to staff and talk to us and see what options are out there. But again, as the city grows and we start changing the current zoning, not the future, there are chances, as I mentioned before, that you know things may change, like in the Hollow Road bypass area, where it did change to different areas, particularly around some of the commercial area stuff. Unfortunately, that's going to happen as the city expands. It's not what everybody wants to hear, but we just want to be truthful about that. It may happen. It's in the future. And for any of that, again, for any of that to change, any sort of change in zoning, present zoning, current day zoning, does have to come to Planning Commission and City Council.
Did that answer your question?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else from the audience? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. See what the commission wants to do.
I would make a motion to approve amending, Blair's 2015 Comprehensive Plan Section 4.2 Future Land Use as presented.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Motion by Boswell, second by Pelesca to accept amending the comprehensive plan. Amending Blair's 2015 comprehensive plan, sorry. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So is that going to go in three weeks or is...
Yes.
Okay. There's a report here from staff. And I have a question as part of the staff. I thought at the beginning of the year we usually voted for chairman and vice chair, but is that only every other year or did we do that yet or not?
No, it is every year. Did we not do that in January?
Sure we did. Missed a bad meeting, didn't we?
Thanks for volunteering. I apologize for that. We will put that on the agenda.
No, I don't know. Did we?
Revote.
Yeah.
How about?
If we had, I don't remember.
Yeah, you're right. It isn't supposed to be an annual thing in January each year for chair and vice chair.
Okay.
So recruit somebody. We'll make sure that gets on the agenda next.
Can I make a nomination now?
Make sure you.
It has to be on the agenda.
I just don't remember doing it in January, but my mind, maybe I don't remember.
Yeah, we'll go back and look. I mean, it would be in the minutes because you just approved the January minutes today. So, yeah.
I don't remember reading it in the minutes either.
I came in late term on that. I got installed last year. So.
The only other thing I want to mention is we did talk last month a little bit about doing some training. Didn't have sufficient time to kind of pull all that together. We'll try to do that for the next Planning Commission meeting. Depending on how long the meeting is, any objections if we potentially wait and do the training after the actual meeting? That way you don't have to come early. You're already here. We wouldn't do it though if it ends up being a long meeting. We'd do it then before. So, any thoughts?
I prefer after as long as it's not a,
right, a long meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Second that meeting would be right before the Planning Commission conference, and if any of them were hoping to attend, do we want to?
Oh, that's that night, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't know if Jeff, did Jeff get around to letting them know about the MPZA conference?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. We got an email.
Okay.
We got.
So if you are interested in going that, and I don't know if anyone is, obviously, if we stayed afterwards and you were planning to travel out to the MPZA conference that night, so you'd be there ready for the next morning, you just extend your day out a little bit, is what the attorney's concern was. So, anyone planning to go? Okay. Well, if so, let us know when we get ready to schedule things.
Can we dial into any of that? Will there be any video conferencing?
I don't think they Zoom or any of that. They do record some.
It takes about a year for me to get online.
I hate to say city government. I hate to say government, but I did.
But they don't do it live, so that I know. All right, that's all I have. Unless you have any questions.
Cool.
What would the commission like to do now?
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah, I will second.
Motion by Radner, second by Huber to adjourn the meeting. All, please vote. That's all in favor.
Snuck up on
there.
Great. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All commission members present voting aye.
How's your building's going on?